we appreciate you being here, and thank you for your patience. We had some items that required that we just couldn't get out of early in our previous meeting. So thank you for your patience as we're starting a few minutes late in this meeting. This is the City Council meeting for the City of South Jordan. Today is Tuesday, July 16th, 2024. My name is Dawn Ramsey, and I have the privilege of serving as mayor of the City of South Jordan with this outstanding City Council seated here next to me. And Mr. Shelton is joining us online tonight. He is here electronically. We welcome all of you who are here in person and anyone joining us online and anyone who may watch these proceedings later. We're going to open this meeting tonight with an invocation by our Director of Strategy and Budget, Mr. Dom Tingey.
If you don't mind, I'd like to go a little out of character tonight and read something rather than give a prayer. It's something that I heard on a Sunday morning edition given by Boyd Matheson on June 30th. I'm just going to read some excerpts from it because I think it's appropriate for the season and for some of the events that were happened even last week. This was given the week before the 4th of July, so some of it relates to the Independence Day that we were celebrating. But he says, as you approach your Independence Day celebration of barbecues, fireworks, and fun summer fun, I would add that in relationship to our freedoms in this nation, that it is important to remember that the things we ignore or forget, our children may never know, and what our children do not know, our grandchildren may never possess. Freedom is fragile when principles are forgotten. Hope for America has, and then he goes on quite a bit, but he concludes by saying, hope for America has nothing to do with which politician is declaring that they are the leader, which political party controls Congress, or who is sitting on the Supreme Court, or who is occupying the Oval Office. It has everything to do with who is sitting in the living rooms, classrooms, waiting rooms, and community meeting rooms of our country. The magic of America is not housed in the halls of Congress, memorialized in the majestic monument, displayed in military might, or stored in a secure vault. The magic of America is found within ordinary people who do, rather than declare, extraordinary things each day. The neighbor helping a neighbor in need, the teacher staying late to help a struggling student, the friend intently listening to a tale of heartbreak, the professional providing free service to solve a problem, the child standing up to a bully for a classmate. These heroic citizens are the thread with which strong neighborhoods and vibrant communities are woven. On the 4th of July, and it is important, and really any day, it is important for us all to remember that America is great, not by what we declare, but by what each of us do. And I'm just grateful for this fine community that we can see so many of these principles being lived every day, many heroic people, and especially for the people that serve, like yourselves, this community to make it a better place, and really is a wonderful place to live. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Mr. Tingey. All right, tonight our Pledge of Allegiance will be led by our CFO, Mr. Sunil Naidu.
Would the audience please rise? Please recite the Pledge of Allegiance with me. I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you, Mr. Naidu. All right. The minutes from our council study meeting and our city council meeting from June 18th, 2024 have been sent out in draft form for the council's review. Does anyone have any changes, amendments, or corrections to make to those draft minutes? And if not, can I get a motion to approve those minutes?
Madam Mayor, I'll move that we approve the minutes.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Mr. Harris. Can we get a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mrs. Johnson. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? That's unanimous. Okay, thank you. Those draft minutes are approved. All right, next we have our mayor and council reports. This is when we like to take just a few minutes at every meeting to report back on a few of the things that we've been working on for the city. We want the residents to know what we're doing and what we're up to. And so we take just a few minutes. If anyone has anything they'd like to report, we'll keep our reports brief. But let's see, Mr. Shelton is not here in person. We'll turn to him last if he has anything you'd like to share. Mrs. Zander, would you like to go first?
I have nothing I'd like to share.
Okay. Mr. Harris, anything you'd like to share?
I attended the South Valley Sewer Board meeting. Everything's going well there. Also attended the Sojo race series. It was the Sojo Glow, so it was actually a night run. Usually they're in the morning. And for anyone who doesn't know, we South Jordan does 5K races and actually had a 10K, and they also do rucking. Rucking is where you wear a backpack with weight in it, and so you have multiple options. And it was a highly attended. This one was a sold out event, and so there's a lot of residents in our city that are going there, and they had all the so everyone can see, they had all this glow in the dark. What do we call those things that the
glow sticks,
yeah. Thank you, Tamara. And so everyone put all the glow sticks on, and it was actually perfect because we all know it's been too hot to run during the middle of the day. So we had to. The race started at 11 o'clock at night, and that's just when it was just cool enough to actually be able to do it. So, but it was well done. The race was well organized, and we had a great time. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't have anything to say.
Thank you, Mr. Boyer.
A few things. Lately, I've had a lot of interaction with residents, which I love. I think, you know, one of the main reasons all of us are up here serving is because we want to help make South Jordan a better place to live. And so I love when residents contact me with issues, and just want to extend appreciation to our city staff and for their quick response to residents' concerns. Because a lot of times we're the filter. We don't have the immediate answers, and we have to turn to our directors or the city manager, and just grateful for the work that's done by our city staff and their employees to make sure South Jordan's taken care of. I had a monthly meeting with our city manager, and then on the Arts Council front, a couple events. We have ongoing right now the Art Venture, which encourages people to get out and to visit different art installations throughout the cities and in the parks to just discover what we offer. And if you go to the city website, the arts page, there's a form you can fill out and be entered into a contest. And that's been a great ongoing activity. And then for the city council on August 16th, might want to attend the Dueling Pianos event. It's open to the general public, but this is one where it always sells out. It's a great event. You have the two piano players that kind of go back and forth during the night. You can make kind of donations to them to try and get your favorite song played. It's a great event. Last year it was sold out, so if it's something you guys want to attend, make sure you buy your tickets, and same to the general public as well. And that's everything, Mayor.
Thank you. I'll give mine, and I'll keep it brief. We met as a council of mayors. All the mayors in Salt Lake County get together and meet, and we did, and we're meeting again Thursday. And we're also having an extra council of governments meeting, which is different than just the council of mayors. Council of governments also includes a couple of representatives from Salt Lake County. To make some final decisions on this year's winter overflow shelter, which the state is now telling us it needs to provide 900 emergency overflow beds. That's it's a heavy lift. It is hard to find places in the county where the emergency overflow shelter, even with the flexing of the current shelters, 900 beds is a heavy lift, and it's hard to find. A lot of work's been put into that, and so we're meeting again this week about that. We met as a Unified Economic Opportunity Commission. For those who don't know, I represent all the cities and towns in the state of Utah on the UEOC, and we had a really good meeting. One of those was an update on the Olympic subcommittee, which I serve on. So we've had conversations as league leadership, and we're going to have quite a few more conversations with the league membership, all of the Utah League of Cities and Towns members, meaning all cities and towns and elected officials at the local level in the state of Utah, about what we want Utah to look like in 10 years, what we think our communities will look like, and what we can do to help bring the Olympic spirit to the various communities around Utah. We're not going to be a venue city. We don't have an Olympic venue here. But there's a lot that we could do to help, celebrate the Olympic spirit here with our residents and whatever that looks like. Every community can make that whatever works best for them. So I had a really good conversation, brainstorming, and we also thought about the things that were the most successful as far as community engagement and that people got to get involved in last time the Olympics came. And so what can we build on and what do we want it to look like and what can we do? And so a good conversation there. Met with Congressman Owens and my fellow mayors. He had an update meeting about things happening in Washington. That was great. Had different meetings with the Larry H. Miller Company and with representatives from Rio Tinto and just different landowners as we continue to work on big things, you know, with all of them, some good update meetings and kind of work through meetings. And we met with Rio today and invited them, gave them an invitation to take the opportunity to come in soon and give a great update to all of us, right? Update us on where things are at with their work. Meetings with Jordan Valley Water. Attended the Jordan Education Foundation golf tournament. We raised some really good money for the students in Jordan School District and did 10 performances of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat with the City of South Jordan and our Arts Council. So that, yeah. Anyway, that was really a treat. It was a pleasure to get to be part of that. And that was a staggering week. 10 shows in a week is a lot. But it was so fun, and it's an opportunity that I will treasure forever. So many great people from our city that were part of that. And that was really fun. So that's my report. Mr. Shelton, are you with us online?
I am.
I'm going to invite you to report back on anything you'd like to share, if you'd like.
Well, I have to say that your Joseph show was so remarkable that I had to bring some of my granddaughters and daughters-in-law to see it. So we went twice, loved it, and you were terrific, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you.
And to everybody, probably your Councilman McGuire as well, for all your efforts to make that fun show happen. I think, in my view, it's easily the best show that we've done in South Jordan. I also attended an executive board meeting for the Jordan River Commission, and I invited them to tour our Pure Sojo project. And so I need to connect with staff somehow to help set that up. So maybe I can talk with you offline about that, Mr. Lewis. Met with the Senior Advisory Committee, and they're making their plans for the next several months and doing great. So that's my report, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Shelton. Appreciate it. Thanks for being here with us tonight. Okay, item is our public comment period. And this is the time when we want to hear from you. We want to hear what you have to say and what you have to share with us. And if there's something that's listed as a public hearing, the time to speak to that specific item is during the public hearing. If it's not listed as a public hearing, anything goes. Every meeting, we just give this same disclaimer that we promise and make a commitment to all of you, our respect, that we will be respectful of you, and we ask the same in return. We're very proud of how we do things here in South Jordan and the civil dialogue that we maintain here in this city. We're all here because we love this city, and we may all have different ideas and opinions. That's how it's supposed to be. And we will work together to come up with the best solutions for what happens here in the city. So with that, everyone's welcome to take 3 minutes. We just ask that you give us your name and address for the public record. Come on up to the microphone, and the time is now yours.
My name is Marilyn Thompson, 10293 South Templeview Circle, South Jordan. And I'm here to present some information about a problem in our neighborhood. I'm going to read a short summary from a letter written by another neighbor, Eric Hernandez, who could not be here tonight. This letter is addressed to the city council members regarding concerns about activities at two specific properties in South Jordan. Here's a summary of the key points from that letter. I have a copy of the original letter along with documents that I will present to the recorder. And the address and ownership, the two houses are mentioned, 10336 South Templeview Circle, the primary residence, and an Airbnb, 10328 South Templeview Circle, referred to as the party house, also owned by Ann Simmons. The neighbor's concerns. The neighborhood has experienced a significant increase in disturbances since Ann Simmons took ownership of the property at 10328. Activities at the party house involve loud music, live band, drug deals, underage drinking, and public urination. These activities have led to property damage, noise violations, littering, and safety concerns. We have many children on our streets, and the cars that come to this event add to the congestion and the specific incidents. The most recent incident occurred on July 12th, 2024, with loud music, public urination, and confrontations with partygoers. Police have been called multiple times to the issue, but the issue persists. Impact on residents, the Hernandez family, who wrote the letter, expressed feelings of stress, anxiety, and sleepless nights due to the disturbances. They have faced disrespectful behavior from the partygoers and a lack of accountability from Ann Simmons. Requested action. The letter requests that the city to investigate the parties and consider them as an unlicensed business that needs to be shut down and removed from the residential area. It highlights the irony of the Airbnb claims about respecting the neighborhood by allowing disruptive events. The letter concludes with a strong appeal to the council to take action to restore peace and safety to our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to address the council that's here in person? Okay. Seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak during this public comment period? If so, please turn on your camera and give us a wave. Okay. All right. Seeing none, we will close our public comment period and thank Ms. Thompson for being here and for speaking. This is the first I've heard of this. I have not received any information about this prior to now. We'll see.
Mayor, I was first made aware of this yesterday. I have since asked both Chief Dawson, Chief Carr, Director Garrison, Director Clavinoe to all look into this. They've all started preliminary investigations into the allegations. I know that I spoke with the chief earlier. He's pulled all of the responses that we have received at that address over the last several years. This event that was mentioned on the 12th is the only one that we have showing in 2024. But they're looking into it. They'll work to correct any violations that are occurring. And I would encourage the neighbors, if these are occurring and continuing, to please call us so that we know about it and we'll take the appropriate actions.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. It's not usually, but go ahead and come on up to the mic because we have to be able to hear you for the record. Thank you. It's the only way they can hear you for the record, and we're required to do that.
I didn't realize. The other thing that we wanted you to be aware is there is another event scheduled for the 25th of July. Okay. That is according to partygoers as they left and gave the information to someone else.
Okay, that's helpful to know. The right.
And there is a cover fee being paid. And it's interesting because sometimes some of the people are only there for maybe 10, 15 minutes and then leaving. And I don't see too many teenagers that want to fork out money to go to something and not get something from it. So I have no idea what's happening there. I just am concerned that there could be drugs or maybe that's a handoff point and that's where this is coming from.
Thank you. I saw Chief Carr make note of that just now. Thank you, appreciate that. Okay, we're gonna move to presentation item G1, our annual risk assessment report. We appreciate our CFO, Mr. Sunil Naidu, does this annual risk assessment report for us every year, and we appreciate that. We're gonna turn the time over to you.
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. This is the first time actually we presented, I'm talking about this risk assessment with the entire governing body. We always have met as an audit committee, Mr. Harris, Mayor, and Mr. Shelton, and we go through this in one form or another and talk about it at the conclusion of our internal audit meeting and at a pre-meeting of our external audit, and which we did early part of June, I think, Mayor? Yeah. So, and because we are, this is the first time I'm presenting to the governing body, I think the whole body, I think I want just wanted to take a few extra minutes and just go over the information that was part of your packet. And I'm just gonna summarize everything that's in the packet, nothing new that I'm gonna bring in. So this, just a quick background, this assessment guide was put together by the State Auditor's Office to help municipalities or public entities measure the risk and maybe have the tools in place to help them with reducing the risk. Specifically with different types of risks, such as undetected frauds, abuses, or non-compliance types of issues. So they use this framework put together by different entities, and the Government Accountability Office is one of them, and COSO framework is another one of them. This is the standard that we all follow. And so this is not everything, but this is a good start for entities to implement and then add to it. This is just basics. A lot of smaller entities, they don't have that capacity or ability to have the measures needed to mitigate, control, or to have that full control. But us in South Jordan, we are fortunate. We are a pretty dynamic city, and we have policies and procedures in place. We have control procedures and all those kind of things in place. So with that, I'm just gonna go over a couple of those things that I mentioned, a few things that are highlighted there as part of the controls. Do we have a proper separation of duties? If we do not have a proper separation of duties, is there a mitigating control put in place? For us, like I was saying, we do not have total separation of duties, but we have mitigating controls where we do not have separation of duties. It's just in order for me to have an entire separation of duty, I probably would need 5-6 more employees, but that's not feasible, right? So then we come up with other ways of controlling that. And so for finance in South Jordan City, a person can receive cash, for example, and that person also have the ability to do journal entries. So the mitigating control there would be anybody, if you are the ones receiving cash, then you cannot do cash journal entries, you can do other journal entries. But any journal entries that you do, because you are involved with cash, there's a second person approving your journal entries. And then at the end of the day, all those journal entries is being looked at, looked by me and the final approval before it hits our journal ledger. Do we have written policies? We do have a lot of different written policies, and how effective they are. Are we following that? Are we educating our employees? How do we do that? That all becomes part of the testing process as our internal auditors and external auditors go through audit process, and they meet with individual employees, different departments and whatnot, and they try to test to see the policy that we have in place or the policy that we have been educating our employees is actually functioning, working the way we are designed to. And so that becomes part of the audit report as we when we at the conclusion of the audit. The other one, do we have certified professionals doing the work? We do have certified professionals. I myself being one of them. So, and then they require that myself or a member of my team be at least or have at least bachelor's degree in accounting, and we do have that. And then, do we commit our employees, our elected officials, in writing to live in the following ethical behaviors? We do. The city attorney's office does the presentation every year, and we send out that little sheet of paper to everybody, all employees, where they acknowledge and send it back to the recorder's office to keep. Mayor and Council, you all know you are required to go to the auditor's office website and do a training once every 4 years, and you all have done it. So that's part of your understanding as to how what you should be looking for. Because if you look at the framework of a control environment and one of the things they look for is the tone at the top kind of thing, that what they say, right? I know how does mayor and council set the policy, what kind of direction, guidance they give, that trickles down how the controls are put in place, how they are utilized, and how certain risks are avoided. I mean, that it all comes down from there. Myself, at least, if not the members of my team, are required to have at least 40 hours of accounting training, formal training every year, which I do. We do have a fraud hotline that was required of us to put in place. And we've had that for quite a few many years, and we have not received any fraud calls. We did receive one when we first implemented that. That was not regarding the South Jordan City, that was regarding a different entity. So the other two is, do we have an internal audit function, and mayor and council, you guys have set in place an internal audit function. We have hired Keddington and Christensen, I think, to carry out that process, and they do the internal audit every year and report to our audit committee. And then do we have an audit committee? Obviously we do. So with that, if you look at our risk level score, we are at 395 out of 395. So we are pretty perfect there as far as the following what we're supposed to do. So the level of risks for our city is very low. And you know, that doesn't mean we will stop looking at things. So lax on any process or policies or procedures, we just continue keep adding there from there and keep becoming better and better. With that, Mayor, if you guys have any questions, I'll be happy to answer at this time. If not,
thank you. Anyone have any questions for Mr. Naidoo?
No, he already answered the one I had.
Thank you so much. We have a perfect 395 out of 395 score because our team works really hard to make sure of that, and because we have hired good auditors that really go through, and it's a privilege for Patrick and I to serve on that committee. We really like being on that committee because it's just very informative. Don's on that too. Yes. Yep. Yeah, and it's good, and we've got good people working really hard with good control measures, and it's because we are really diligent. We're always vigilant at making sure. We'll never take for granted, we have a really low risk. It's not a big deal. We work really hard as a city to make sure that that stays that way. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, we're now going to item H. We have three public hearing items. Item H1, we have resolution R2024-38, amending the South Jordan Moderate Income Housing Plan as part of the South Jordan General Plan. As you know, this all came down from the legislature, and we are going to turn to our Director of Planning, Mr. Stephen Schaefermeyer, for that.
Thank you, Mayor. So before you is an update of the timeline, as well as some background information, things that have happened since the last update to this housing plan. So the housing plan that we currently have adopted in the city was adopted in 2019 and was incorporated as part of the 2020 general plan update. State law requires us to update that every 5 years, so if you do the math, we gotta have a new one in November. In the interim, we had new rules adopted, and they've changed either how they're applied by the Department of Workforce Services, or the actual rules have changed every year. So this year, in trying to understand what the expectation was for this reporting period, understanding that we have in our implementation plan two specific things, stationary planning and a senior housing and senior center project that have either changed in character or have taken more time than initially expected. Because of those two things, and in consultation with DWS, they suggested that I present to you an update to the implementation plan. So none of the strategies that were adopted in the amendment in 2023 or originally in 2019 have changed. The only thing that has changed is I've updated what has occurred in the city with each of those housing strategies. And then with the two strategies dealing with the senior center and station area planning, I have updated the timelines to something that is more realistic. The report for this reporting period is due by the end of this month. So as part of that report, I will report on all the efforts that have been and are taking place with both of those things, as well as providing this updated implementation plan. The point being to show in every way to DWS and anyone who looks at the reports, which when you look at the compiled reports for Utah cities, I would be shocked if anybody actually has gone through all of those because it's pages and pages. But our intent is to show that we are complying, that we are trying to comply, and that we are making meaningful progress. Those are the words in the statute, towards compliance with the moderate income housing elements. We did receive one public comment that was distributed to all of you. I'll just note that affordable housing, providing affordable housing, is a super complicated issue, an issue that I don't think anybody claims to understand fully how to solve. Cities definitely have a role to play, and I think South Jordan is trying to do that. We are trying to play our part in that, but it also requires landowners and developers and homeowners and all kinds of people to participate in that effort. This is just one aspect of what we are doing. And so I have provided you the updated implementation plan. If you have questions, I would be happy to answer those after the public hearing.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, I am now going to open the public hearing on Resolution R-2024-38, amending the South Jordan Moderate Income Housing Plan as part of the South Jordan General Plan. If there's anyone in person that would like to speak during this public hearing, the time is now yours. Or if there's anyone online that would like to speak to this, we'll ask you to turn on your camera and give us a wave so we can identify who you are. Okay, seeing none, we will close the public hearing and turn to the council and see if anyone has any questions for Mr. Schaefermeyer. I just want to point out how much I appreciate the immense amount of work that you have put into this. You and your team have really worked hard to get this right, and you've met with all the powers that be. You've met with lots of people. You've really tried to understand things that might seem arbitrary or things that might be discretionary. You've really worked hard. I know you've put a lot of effort into this to make sure that this is right and comes across right, and I want to say thank you for that. It's been an inordinate amount of work for you and your team. Thank you. Anyone have any questions for Mr. Schaefermeyer?
Just a comment if you want to take a comment right
please.
Now.
So, yes, I mean, absolutely.
I mentioned to Dr. Bob Paxton that I'd speak, and so, and his concerns were not exactly related to what everything you've done here, but he has some valid concerns. You know, the home prices in all over Utah are really expensive, and I think he and I share some similar concerns. You know, that the younger generation, it's going to be tough for them to afford homes, into the future. And I just want to state that we're all aware of that here on the council and the mayor, and we're doing our best to be able to comply with the laws as well. But we also recognize that the developers and builders and just the free market is going to dictate those housing prices. There's only so much we can do, but I am very proud of the efforts that we're making especially towards like the senior center. I mean, that's something that can have a big impact for a group of people. And I know we've done other areas where when developers are needing some extra considerations, we encourage them to look to provide affordable housing, when they're asking for special considerations. Mm-hmm. That's something that we often, encourage, and we've been successful at. So I believe that this body will continue to make strides, to be able to do that. And so that's all.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that. And I appreciated the good doctor's email as well, and your reply to it, your comments to it. There are some things that cities can do, right? And we are really trying to do all of those things that we can do. And it's a delicate balance. There are plenty of people that don't want any zoning to change in the city, and we can't do much about our part about what we can do to help impact the price of housing without changing a little bit of zoning, And these are things the city's been really proactive on, and we work really closely with the folks at the state, and we agree as a city with the governor that we need these housing and we want to keep our kids here. We do. That's a priority to us. And so thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. Anyone have any other comments or questions? Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to now turn to the council and ask if there is a motion, a motion on Resolution R-2024-38, amending the South Jordan Moderate Income Housing Plan as part of the South Jordan General Plan.
Mayor, I'll move to approve Resolution R-2024-38, amending the South Jordan Moderate Income Housing Plan as stated.
Thank you. We have a motion by Mrs. Zander. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you. Appreciate that, Mr. McGuire. Any additional discussion? All right, seeing none. Welcome, Ms. Valdez. We appreciate you being here. Will you please lead the council in roll call vote?
Commissioner Member Tanya Zander.
Yes.
Council Member Zander.
Yes.
Okay. Council Member McGuire.
Yes.
Council Member Harris.
Yes.
Council Member Johnson.
Yes.
And Council Member Shelton.
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. All right, item H2 is ordinance 2024-11, vacating several small portions of right-of-way within the Daybreak Town Center area. We're also going to turn to Mr. Schaefermeyer for this.
Thank you, Mayor. Before you is another vacation request, not the good kind, but the road vacation request in daybreak.
When are we going to get the good kind, for heaven's sake?
When I get more vacation, I will request that, more time off. But the one before you today, and there is a presentation that has these on there. Thank you. So these colors correspond to the various descriptions that were included in the packet. But essentially, these are public utility easements near the Daybreak Urban Center, downtown Daybreak. The purpose of this request from the developer who is here and can represent their perspective is to allow more flexibility for the development that is going to occur behind curb. So the request is not to vacate any of the road area. This is all behind curb public utility easements. For example, one of the concepts that they are floating in this area are a brownstone type of townhome development, which includes an entrance that steps up and an entrance that steps down. And so that projects more into what would normally be the public right of way. And so as part of these road vacations, they are providing public access easements across there so that they will function as sidewalks, but the city won't have the maintenance and liability and those types of things associated with a more urban type setting that's being proposed. So if you have questions about specifically why they need these, as each segment is less than an acre of property along the road. So overall, they're quite small. As far as I'm aware, there are no public infrastructure that has been installed in these areas that will be disturbed, like a sidewalk. And so under the state code, staff found that there is good cause and that the public interest nor any person will be materially injured if you choose to vacate these public utility easements.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I will come back to questions after. I'm going to invite Mr. Warnick with Larry H. Miller Company as the applicant to come on up. If you have anything you'd like to share, we'd love to hear from you.
Always. John Warnick, Larry H. Miller Real Estate, Vice President of Land Development. This, we're trying to get ahead of the game a little bit on this, is to kind of get everything the same, like what we're doing right now around what's the ballpark. We've found that when we come to a new plat and we come to design it, we're like, oh, okay, we got to vacate this because we dedicated a lot of this right away up front. So by doing this, now we're getting ahead of it to where we're not chasing our tail on this, but it's going to make everything uniform. Everything will match an urban center setting. So it's all in conjunction with what we're doing right now around downtown Daybreak. So any particular questions for me?
We'll come back to that after we do the public hearing.
Okay,
awesome. Thank you. Yep. Appreciate that. Okay, I'm now going to open the public hearing on Ordinance 2024-11, vacating several small portions of the right-of-way within the Daybreak Town Center area. Is there anyone here in person that would like to speak to this? Okay, seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak to this? Okay, seeing none, we will close the public hearing and now we'll turn to the council and see if anyone has any questions for Mr. Warnick or Mr. Schaefermeyer.
So are they moving these or are they just vacating them totally? I mean, who's going to maintain the utilities?
So the utility companies will maintain any utilities that are installed, but they won't be at that location. Sometimes, and I don't know how detailed they've gotten with the utility planning in all of these areas, but sometimes those utilities will end up in a private easement. The public utility easement is usually put on a plat as a, mm-hmm. I don't want to say free for all, but available to all public utilities. As the development comes through, though, they can plan a little bit more strategically with things like the power lines that are buried in the area and to coordinate all of that. And it does get a little more complicated when you are fitting so much into a small area, but that that's the challenge. So it'll just be provided elsewhere.
But right now we're not worried about that. We're just vacating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you'll come down when you have a more secure plan.
Through the development process. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I just have a question about the, you know, the purpose of the right-of-way vacation is to accommodate the urban design of the street and sidewalk sections in the urban core of the Daybreak Town Center. I have no concern over mm-hmm. this. I'm just wondering, is this where the sidewalks are meant to be? Is this where they're going to go? Tell me how this vacation looks compared to where the sidewalks and curb and gutter are going to go.
So that it's all within the same area. It's all the. It's basically behind curb is where this currently exists. It's more a matter of again these conflicts between the other things they're going to do and whether the city wants to be on the hook for maintaining that infrastructure. It gives them more flexibility to do things that we normally don't allow on a right of way that has been dedicated to us because of the challenges that are associated with it. I'm being really vague because I'm not sure. There's different reasons in this area for these things, but ultimately it comes down to whether or not we want all of these things on public property, or whether it's more appropriate to put it on private property, which then gives them the flexibility, but through the public access easement still allows the public to use the sidewalks.
Okay, we are on the same page.
Okay.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you. Anyone else? All right, seeing none, thank you very much. And Mr. Warnick, thank you. And I will now ask if there's a motion on Ordinance 2024-11 vacating several small portions of the right-of-way within the Daybreak Town Center area.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve Ordinance 2024-11.
Thank you, Mr. McGuire. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mrs. Johnson. Any additional discussion? Okay, seeing none. Ms. Valdez, please lead the council. I'm not used to saying your name. I even wrote it down to make sure I don't get it wrong, but not thinking. Would you please lead the council in roll call vote?
Council Member McGuire.
Yes.
Council Member Johnson.
Yes.
Council Member Harris.
Yes.
And Council Member Zander.
Yes.
And Council Member Shelton.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Thanks. All right, item H3 is Ordinance 2024-18, vacating two municipal easements located on a parcel of the Bison Ridge subdivision. Mr. Schaefermeyer.
Thank you, Mayor. So this is another request to vacate municipal easements. They do happen outside of Daybreak, so this is one of those. This is property along Bison Ridge Road. So this road used to dead end at the canal. And with the development of Urban Crossing, which is the name of the subdivision to the east, a connection over the canal was made. When this property was first platted, and I can get into a lot of details on this property because it is a bit different. As I reread the staff report, it sort of gives the impression that this is the last step for this parcel to be developed, and that's probably a wrong impression. There's a lot of steps left. But essentially, this was an HOA-owned parcel that the city understands went to a tax sale. And it was gobbled up by people who thought they could easily develop. And what they didn't look into is that there was a retention basin, a privately maintained retention basin, that receives public water. That's not usually how we do it. At least now we don't. I don't know why that was the decision made at the time. So it was a little bit interesting, but it was bought. It's now transferred hands a few times because once people get into how complicated it is to develop this piece of property, they get scared away. The current applicant is apparently not scared of this property. I don't know if they're represented here or not, but on this property, when it was subdivided, was a retention basin, as well as a turnaround because it was a dead-end street. It wasn't part of the public right-of-way because the road was always intended to go through. So it was an easement on the property. as well as a snow easement. So it's an area that snow plows, because it's a dead end, can push the snow onto the snow easement. So that's what's existing on the property. Could the property develop with those remaining? It could. They still have to deal with the detention basin, and they have a plan in place. This is the original plat, and this shows the notes on parcel A. Parcels on plats are non-buildable. Lots are buildable, so this was intended as a retention basin that was owned. And this is what the current owners are proposing. So if you decide to vacate the turnaround easement and the snow easement, this is what they are working on to subdivide the property. The zoning allows more density in this subdivision. The lots are quite large for the zone. But again, if you choose not to vacate those, there is still room to develop something on this property if they can manage to take care of the detention basin. And again, if you want more details on that, I can give them to you. But the request tonight is not to subdivide the property or develop it. The request is that you vacate the turnaround easement, which is no longer needed because the road connects through, and the snow easement, which is no longer needed because the road connects through. So that's what's before you tonight. Staff has determined that it meets the requirements of state law, and that you can vacate it if you so choose.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, do we have anyone representing the applicant here? No? Is there anyone representing the applicant online? Okay, all right. Then we usually, if the applicant is here, we give them an opportunity, like we just did Mr. Warnick, to speak for a minute before the public hearing. So anyone weighing in from the public has all the information, and the council has all the information to hear everything before we ask our own questions. So with that, I will open the public hearing on Ordinance 2024-18, vacating two municipal easements located on a parcel of the Bison Ridge subdivision. Is there anyone here in person that would like to speak to this? Seeing none, is there anyone online that would like to speak to this? Okay, seeing none, we will close this public hearing and turn to the council for any questions you may have. My question is, the zoning would not have to be changed if this landowner wanted to develop it?
Correct.
Okay. I have questions about this. We don't usually have development happen on retention ponds like that. That's just not a thing I've ever seen. It was a privately owned, I don't understand all that. And maybe I don't either. That's fascinating.
In talking to Shane Greenwood, who's kind of been the point contact for these various owners, and there's been several different proposals that ultimately when the owners get into it, they realize we don't want to deal with this. So the last slide I showed you showed them providing a new detention basin, which is different than retention, and Brad, feel free to jump in at any point. But a detention basin, their intent is to detain the water and then it can go into the canal, which is also unusual. They claim that they have talked to the canal company and that they have approval. One of the corrections from staff on their subdivision application is, please provide that approval in writing. So the water then would be redirected into the detention basin, which is not uncommon that you would have a detention basin behind a lot in a subdivision, but then it would discharge into the canal. The thing that does make it so unusual is it's always received public water because the streets are public, and so when water drains off of lots into the gutter and goes down to this detention basin, it's public water. And it sits in a private detention basin, which I'm sure there's other examples of that, but it would be rare and something we try to avoid now. So if they are successful in developing this, in some ways it solves a problem for us as a city to be able to properly maintain our storm drain system. Because if you looked at the aerial, it was quite wooded with a variety of things, which indicates that it wasn't really being maintained. My guess is a lot of people in that HOA didn't even know it used to be owned by the HOA. And so the proposal really would solve some of those issues. This is the becomes the new parcel A, where the retention or detention basin would be built. Prior prior proposals proposed things like underground vaults and downwells, and those are super problematic for a variety of reasons, especially in this context. And so of the proposals that we've seen as staff, this is the one that makes the most sense in terms of stormwater maintenance. There was a question.
Yeah, so if they, in the future, do get this divided into two different parcels, that lower one that you have circled, how would they access that?
So this hatched area,
yeah,
is an easement in favor of the city to access that, to maintain it.
The city would maintain that circled portion?
Mm-hmm.
Are we maintaining it now?
No, it's private property. It's private. So, but it is public water.
So
there hasn't been a problem with the basin as far as I'm aware. But if there were, it might get complicated.
Well, and I don't know, I guess, I don't know how far into the weeds we can kind of go. I mean, we're not really evaluating that tonight, though, are we? We're just evaluating that turnaround portion.
Right. I mean,
but if we do, if we vacate it, aren't we already saying we're going to go further?
I know, that's why I just...
Because they don't have to come back to us if they want to develop that.
No.
I don't think you're saying for sure that anything else is approved. All you're approving is that the turnaround, which was necessary when it was a dead-end road, mm-hmm. is no longer necessary, and therefore the city does not need that area for a turnaround anymore. What happens next, we'll have to go through those processes, none of which I believe come back to the council because there's no zoning or legislative act.
They currently have an application for a preliminary plat, which would subdivide the property. Part of that review by engineering specifically is to make sure that that's what's always reviewed with subdivisions, to make sure that the public infrastructure is in place for things like stormwater and how it fits into our system and all of that. And that's where the red flag of, we know you said you can discharge into the canal, we're gonna need proof before it's approved.
But that's that approval.
That's that approval. Now, does vacating this make it better for them to develop the property? Absolutely.
Yeah. And the question I would have is from a legal standpoint, is the turnaround legally necessary or engineering-wise and traffic-wise necessary anymore now that the street is not a dead end? And if it's not necessary, that answers the question as to whether or not vacating it...
whether there's good cause.
Good cause, yeah. Meets the legal standard.
Yeah.
All right. Whether the permit. Mr. Harris, he has a question.
So was this property, originally, it was engineered to be a detention basin for the HOA, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
So it went through all that engineering, and so somewhere along the way, at that point in time, would that have gone before a city, or before some city staff to review and approve? That all that type of engineering, and now I understand, now we're vacating things, but this whole thing's
it's functioned.
Changed. Yeah.
So it seems like it was engineered correctly. It's just unusual that public water would go into a private retention basin. I can think of actually a couple other examples where that has occurred. But it's because private streets have been converted to public streets, but the detention basin is part of like an HOA park or something where the water comes into and then it exits and goes back into the public system, in which case there would be an agreement in place of how that all occurs. Nothing like that in this case occurred like that.
Okay, so my follow-up question on this is, so are we going to get more interest? So, as this thing moves along the way, I just want to understand with this land here we're talking about, would there be additional engineering that's, because now we're talking about vacating, various things in here. For me, I'm looking at this land. It's all part of it from my perspective. Are we going to have additional engineering that's going to come back and say, hey, plan B still allows for water? I don't public, private, I'm not worried about that at this moment, but I'm sorry about the engineering. I mean, are we going to require engineering reports that says, hey, you know, that we're going to be reviewing and approving and say this makes sense, you know, to be able to do all the things that they're going to want to do?
Yeah, Councilmember Harris, yes, there would be.
Okay.
And they have already done some of that. And I think Stephen had mentioned it earlier. Right now it's retention.
Yeah.
And they have worked with the canal company and supposedly have approval to release some water into the canal so there would be detention, which would allow the basin to shrink up some for capacity reasons.
And the staff has no concerns about any of the surrounding properties having like this, taking this water, call it what you want, storage area, right, away. That doesn't, by eliminating that, making it small, there's no risk for anybody around it.
The 100-year storm.
I mean, in fact, we looked at the low point. If it was over top, it'd just flow into the canal. So that's kind of some of the things we've looked at. And like Stephen said, this is like the third or fourth proposal, so it's not like it hasn't been looked at like four or five times over the last 3 or 4 years. So
my next question is, if I know Mr. Luce said the question we're answering is, are we going to vacate this, right? I get that. No, it doesn't look like the turnaround is necessary anymore, right? It's not a dead end anymore. I get that. But it sounds like the ripple effect is automatically this could be, if this is what they want, which it sounds like this is what they want, this would be the ripple effect of this decision. So I think we have to talk about it. If this turns into a house on this, how does the city access that way? There can be a visible, invisible easement that the city has, you know, access to. Is that easier said than done?
So a note would be placed on the plat showing where the, and that's what's shown in this hatched area. I don't know exactly what the note says. I would have to pull that up. I don't know if that's been finalized yet, but this would likely be where their driveway is, with notes about keeping areas clear and that sort of thing. Now, a detention basin isn't something that the city would go out and maintain daily, or I don't know, Ray may have some insight into what it takes to maintain a detention basin versus a retention basin. But certainly it would be similar to many others around the city, and that those are the same standards would be applied to this as been applied to others.
But it's a new project for the city to take on responsibility for.
Yeah, and I haven't seen the latest proposal. I looked at it was a combined driveway access. Another one I saw, they had their driveway separate. We had a whole separate access to the pond. So I haven't seen anything recently on it, but we would definitely work. We've been working with Public Works on this to make sure we get access back there. If it is fenced, I don't know what the amount of maintenance we do, but anyhow.
So my question is, we have, again, I'm not worried about public, private, at the second one, I'm making this comment, but we have retention, you know, areas in our city. And, you know, my question is, you know, as land is more scarce, land becomes more valuable, and some of these retention areas can be quite sizable, you know, and they were engineered and designed for a certain way. When the homeowners bought, you know, those homes in there, you know, they knew, you know, okay, whether people today know about that, I don't know, but you know, this is what this looks like. It's meant for, retain, you know, water. Are we going to start getting in the process where we're going to be, people say, hey, you know what? I think we can change the retentions to detentions, and we can engineer these things to be able to do it in a more efficient way, and we can start putting some houses on here, and, you know, and I'm also a little bit concerned. That's my first thing. My second thing is I'm always a little concerned, you know, as we're approving things, like if, you know, is there any additional, you know, I don't know about this, or is this a higher hazard, you know, development? Could some things go wrong, where someone else says, city, you shouldn't really have approved this thing. You knew this thing was a retention area, and there could be problems down the road. I deal with some of the, well, not exactly this type of stuff, but they don't have to just find one liable party. They can go after, you know, the engineer, they can go after the, you know, the builder, they can go after the city, they can go after everyone, you know, and go after everyone's money. And so when I see this kind of thing, it just makes me, you know, pause for a second here. You know, I have lots of questions on this thing.
Yeah. Well, to go along with Patrick or council member. My biggest concern is that you're going to have a private property where the people are going to have access to their property, and yet it's public water that is on there, and will we have additional liability that we can't control?
So the property will be dedicated to the city. So they won't own the retention basin. They're subdividing, and they dedicate.
Well, that was never said. That's helpful to know.
Yeah.
That helps me.
But they still will have the access. Yeah. You're still having an access over their property.
Right.
And so that still will have an influence on the retention.
So kind of tying in with that comment, though, is if right now that's privately owned, but it's our public water going there,
yeah,
and there was to be a failure and there was flooding because it hasn't been properly maintained, then whose liability is that? And so are we reducing our liability by actually having this develop to some extent, mm-hmm, and we take ownership and clean it up? Do that maintenance on it.
Mayor?
Yes.
It's not uncommon that we have easements through yards to lines and different thing, and there's a manhole in somebody's backyard, and it's always terrible. It's not a good situation, but we do have some of those throughout the city. Director Garrison and his crews have to knock on the door and say, we're going to be tromping through your garden to get to the manhole, and it just, we have some of those and they exist. This would be a little different depending on how they did the access with the driveway, as Mr. Clavino was explaining. And as far as discretion goes, I don't know how much discretion even this body has legislatively if they meet the requirements of the vacation. And then our engineering and planning, if they don't meet those requirements, the Planning Commission and staff have the discretion to say, no, you don't meet the requirements to subdivide. Some questions that I have that I'm sure others are thinking of is, does this impact the zoning of the area, the overall zone? Does it push it out? You know, Director Schaefermeyer and his group will look at that. Will it meet all the setbacks and everything like that? There's a lot of work that still needs to be done, or that has been done that we're not seeing as part of the very narrow vacation we're seeing. But I don't think that if they meet all the rest of the requirements and it ends up being developed this way, we're at any more liability than we are today, due to the question Mr. McGuire just asked. From a liability standpoint, we would have certainly more control to maintain and clean it and keep it.
Well, finding out that this would, yeah, be deeded over to the city makes it far more okay with me.
Yeah.
I mean, that seemed very strange.
Sorry for not
to me.
Making,
and so, yeah, now it wasn't that I know that, first, I'm like, oh, if the city's going to own it, and just like we would the rest of them, and we'll take care of it, I actually think that makes me feel better about the liability of it. Because I didn't like it either. It's weird. If it's privately owned and we have to maintain it, that's not right. That seems weird. So if it's deeded over to the city, that changed everything for me. But anyone have any other comments?
I just have one more comment. Obviously, it's not for a decision today, but when we get down to the nuts and bolts of this, I would hope that we make for a more ample driveway, and that would be, I'm guessing, Brad's department. But let's just be real thoughtful about the guardrails, literally and figuratively, of what we require this parcel to do so that our access is a little more streamlined.
Yeah, that has been a concern. So, yeah. Yes, definitely.
So just watch that for us. I feel comfortable with it, Mayor.
Okay. Anyone have any other questions or comments? Don, do you have anything you wanted to say about this? Sorry, I can't see you, but they're switching over to you. So, you have anything you want to add or ask?
I think the discussion has been helpful and helped me to feel more comfortable with the idea. So I'm comfortable to move forward with the vacation. And I think we actually put ourselves at risk if they meet all of the requirements for vacation and we choose to deny it. So,
okay, thank you.
Anyway,
thank you. Okay, Mr. Schaefermeyer, thank you. Appreciate, and Mr. Klavanoff both, thank you. And Mr. Luce. All right, I'm going to turn to the council and ask if there is a motion on ordinance 2024-18 vacating two municipal easements located on a parcel of the Bison Ridge subdivision.
Mayor, go ahead.
You can go take it, Tamara.
I'll second you.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we approve ordinance 2024-18.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any additional discussion about this?
Mayor, I'll just make a comment.
Go ahead.
If we were discussing this whole thing holistically, I'd have a lot more questions, but considering, you know, advice from our city attorney, I have no further questions. Yeah.
Mayor?
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
Sorry to weigh in before the vote. I was just rereading the statute, and this is the best guidance. It's in the subdivision part, which is generally administrative, but the language says, let's see, four. The legislative body may adopt an ordinance granting the petition to vacate. So it's a may.
So
not that we must.
Not a must, but it's in the administrative section of the land use code under subdivision. So, but it says may, not a must. And so I think you do have that discretion. It's a may in the statute, not a must.
Steph included that language in the staff report.
It's right
and
here. Yeah.
With each of these vacation requests, we take a look at it. But we in our recommendation, it's just a recommendation. We don't, with the Planning Commission, we usually say things like, you should, you have to, if it meets the ordinance. But with this, it's a recommendation to approve based on our analysis. Obviously, there's been other questions that have arisen tonight from you. So.
Well, and my only comment would be there's been a lot of discussion about there's still a lot of work to do on this, and I do trust our administrative staff to do the work to make sure it's right.
This is, I think, the third or fourth proposal, and this is as far, this is the one that has gone the very farthest. But even there's other utility things on the property, a big giant utility box that I'm not sure how they're going to move that. And so there's some things to resolve.
Okay. Thank you. With that, Ms. Valdez, would you please lead the council in a roll call vote?
Council Member McGuire.
Yes.
Council Member Zander.
Yes.
Council Member Harris.
Yes.
He probably couldn't hear you. I don't think your microphone's on. Mr. Shelton. Oh, he gave a thumbs up. Maybe we can't hear him. That's a yes from Mr. Shelton, it looks like.
Yep.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. That passes unanimously. Thank you. Okay. Item I on our agenda is staff reports and calendaring items. We will turn to our city manager, Mr. Lewis, to start us off here.
I don't have anything for you this evening.
Okay. Mr. Luce, anything for staff reports and calendaring items? Oh, sorry, went
no.
Straight one. See, sorry.
I already took enough of your time tonight.
Okay. Anyone else? Any of our staff have anything for us you need us to know?
I missed the curve. Do you have something?
No? Okay. All right. Thank you. With that, I will ask for a motion to recess our city council. Why does that still stay study meeting? That is an incorrect. This is not a study meeting. So on the agenda, it says recess city council study meeting. It's not right. I will ask for a motion to recess our city council meeting and move us into executive closed session for the discussion of the character, professional competence, or physical or mental health of an individual.
So moved, Mayor.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any questions? Okay.